Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We began our study to our commentaries on Quran chapter 16, which is one of the rare chapters where we do not read about all the biblical stories. Normally, Muhammad loves to repeat the story of Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon and on, repeating the biblical accounts. But in that chapter, that is Quran chapter 16, we see that Muhammad made up his own poetry, which is still loaded with error, as if there is any revelation in the pages of the Quran. Revelation to me means new information, something God revealed, something we did not know before we receive it. As far as we have seen in the Quran, nothing new was revealed to Muhammad or to the Muslim believers. To prove our point, we move on to our study to Quran chapter 16 and verse 12. For there we read, "And he," that is Allah, "has made the night and the day subservient to you, and the sun and the moon and the stars are subservient by his command. Surely in this are the signs for people who understand." And I'm sorry, I do not know where in the world did Muhammad come up with the idea that any of God's creation were made subservient to you. That's not what the Bible said. Now, the word subservient is mentioned in the Quran 15 times in different locations, and it always have ties with the sun and the moon and the stars, as we will see in the rest of our study for today. When I examine the Bible, the Genesis account, that is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, I realized there are the similar idea from which Muhammad came up with his writings of the Quran. For in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the scripture said, "Then God blessed them," and them here is Adam and Eve. "And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Notice the word here, subdue it, to have authority over it, to have power over it, that they may control it and use it for their own good. "Have dominion over the fish of the sea." Yes, Adam and Eve can have control over the sea and all the fish which exist in it, over the bird of the air. Yes, indeed, Adam and Eve can have dominion over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That is why God created all these creatures, for Adam and Eve to enjoy and to have dominion over it. That's not that God said that Adam will have dominion over the sun and the moon and the stars, or that he will control it, or that God made the sun and the moon and the stars to be subservient to mankind. Let's continue with the reading of Allah's word in the Quran. "For Allah declared to us in that verse," that is verse 12, "that he is the one who gives the command. He is the one who gives the order for the sun and the moon and the star to be subservient to mankind." That is when we read, "And the sun and the moon and the stars are subservient by his command." And then Allah ended that verse by stating, "Surely in this are the signs for people." Which people? The people who understand. I'm sorry, I understand exactly how God brought the creation to existence, but I do not understand how can the sun and the moon and the stars be subservient to us. If that is the case, why the sun with its heat causes death? We have seen in the last pilgrimage of Hajj in Saudi Arabia, where the temperature went up to 64, 65 degrees, and literally hundreds and hundreds of those who went to perform the Hajj died because of the heat of the sun. Their bodies were all over the streets of Mecca, and they were actually collecting them and piled them as if they were some trash. How can the Son be subservient to men if the hate of the Son caused the death of the best of the men? These are the Muslim believers who are willing to sacrifice everything they have to go to Saudi Arabia to perform the most important fifth pillar in Islam, which is the pillar of Hajj. I know that God is in control of the sun and the moon and the stars, but I do not believe that He made them subservient to mankind. Let's move on to Quran chapter 16 and verse 13, for there we read, "And what He created on the earth of different colors, surely in this is a sign for people who remember." I love it how Muhammad always loved to end the sentence with some kind of poetry, repeated words which do not fit within the teaching of the verse. Like in verse 12, he ended with, "for people who understand." Now he's talking about the people who remember. Remember what? What about that verse? What do Muslim scholars say or teach about that verse? According to the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, he's telling us that whatever Allah put on earth with different colors, that is for the creatures and the fruit. Other one like Qatada is telling us, he's talking about the different creatures and the trees and the fruit. Why Allah did that? He said that we may be thankful to Allah for such creation. So now we have a question. What is the difference between Quran chapter 12 verse 13 and that which we read earlier in our last broadcast in verse 11? And let me remind you again for what Allah said in verse 11. "By it," that is the rain, or the water of the rain which Allah dropped from heaven on mankind, "He," that is Allah, "planted for you the plants and the olives and the palm trees and the grapes and all the fruits. Surely in this is a sign for people who reflect." Here we go, people who reflect. Different fruit of different color, of different taste. If you just reflect on such creation which Allah made. Why Allah is repeating the same idea once again after He talked about the rivers and the sun and the moon and the stars in verse 13. Let's look at the seas and how Allah created the seas and how man can benefit from the seas, as we read in verse 14. For in the Quran we read, "And He is who has made the sea subservient to you, so that you may eat of its tender meat and take from it ornaments to wear them. And you see the ships sailing through it, and that you may seek of His bounty, and perhaps you will be thankful." Once again, Allah, the God of perhaps, does not tell us if people are going to be thankful or not of such creation which He has given them. But what do we see in Quran chapter 16, verse 14? According to Muslim scholars like Al-Tabari, who told us that Allah did all this and He blessed the people with all these blessings which can be found through His creation of the sea. And then he added, "And that is every river, if its water is salty or fresh." Excuse me. Allah does not mention any river in that verse. Allah is talking about the sea. And we know that seas are salty water. There is no fresh water. But Al-Tabari assured his readers that Allah is talking about the fresh, soft meat which people eat from the sea and the rivers. He is talking about the fish which people catch from the water. Notice in the Quran, Muhammad never made any of God's creatures unlawful except the pig. Do you know that Muslims offer many sacrifices on the day of sacrifice? That is the festivals which comes once a year. The best sacrifice they can offer to Allah on that day, as Muslims brag about it, is the camel. Not realizing that the word of God in the Bible assured us that is a no-no to be eaten. Yes, indeed, Muslims claim to believe in Prophet Moses and in the writing of the Prophet Moses, which is the Torah, but they forgot to read that which is written in the Torah. Here is what Moses wrote in the Torah about the eating of the animals. In verses 3 and 4 of Leviticus chapter 11, we read, "Among the animals, whatever divide the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those who have cloven hooves, the camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you."
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Imagine with me, somehow Muhammad, or maybe his angel Jibreel, did not realize that very important fact about the eating of the camel. It is 100% forbidden in the Bible, and it is 100% lawful in Islam. Similar to that, the creatures which live in the water. Here in the Quran, we discover that Muhammad said, once again in Quran chapter 16 and verse 14, we read, and he, that is Allah, is who has made the sea subservient to you so that you may eat of its tender meat. Notice here, Allah did not give any exception of what kind of fish or creatures in the water Muslims are to eat. As you see it throughout the Quran, Allah always said that it is lawful for Muslims to eat any creatures which come out of the water. But what do you think the Bible said about that? If we go once again to the book of Leviticus chapter 11, beginning from verse 9, we read, "These you may eat of all that are in the water, whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat." Notice here, God is very specific. He's very clear. We're talking about the fish or the creatures in the rivers, which obviously is fresh water, or the seas, which is salty water. That's not what Muhammad said in the Quran. He only mentioned seas, but somehow the scholars added in the interpretation, "Oh, Allah meant the water, fresh and not fresh, the salty one," as if they are helping Allah with his teaching. In verse 10 of Leviticus 11, we'll read, "But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you." Tell this to the believers of the Quran who did not read the details of what is forbidden concerning the creatures which lives in the water. In verse 11, we continue to read, "They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination." In verse 12, "Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you." Hello, my dear Muslim friends. How long you have been eating unclean creatures and you do not even know it? Simply because somehow Muhammad did not know, because Allah forgot to tell Jibreel, to tell Muhammad in this great revelation of the Quran, to warn you from eating such unclean creatures. Similar to that, obviously, the birds. Yes, indeed, Muslims eat all the birds, any kind of bird, because the Quran does not say anything about any unlawful bird. You can read about that also in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, beginning from verse 13 to verse 24. Well, let's go back to Quran chapter 16 and verse 14. For in the same verse, which we know that you can eat all kind of tender meat from the sea or the rivers, Allah said that you take from it, from the water, ornaments to wears them like pearls. Wow, that must be a brand new information. Muslim never heard of it before. No, it's not. Why? Because way, hundreds of years before Muhammad was a gleam in his father's eye, people made ornaments from the creature of the sea and they wear it as a decorative. But here is a question. Is it lawful for Muslims to wear ornaments? As example, Muslim men will not wear gold if it is goldy color, but they can wear white gold. What a great ridiculous law, when in reality we know that gold is gold. And for the women who are going to live to practice the teaching of the Quran, that they may be covered from head to toe, I do not know what she's going to benefit from wearing any of these ornaments if she's going to cover them under her hijab. Continuing with verse 14. And you see the ship sailing through it. Through what? Through the seas. So what is the revelation in such statement? I mean, what is the new information I'm gaining out of the Quran? If Muhammad is not talking about Moses and Jesus and David and Abraham, he's making poetry of something everybody can see by their eyes. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Allah said in the Quran. He said what? And you see the ships sailing through it. Where is the miracle in that verse? Way before Muhammad, many people made ships. The Egyptians made ships, and the ships had been sailing in the water for hundreds of years before Muhammad was born. So what is the miracle in that verse? What was the purpose of Allah revealing such verse to Muhammad or to the Muslims? But the verse did not stop there, because Allah continued to say, and that you may seek of his bounty. Yes, they're going to use the ships to travel in the waters from one country to another to carry their merchandise to sell. And that's how people will seek Allah's bounty. Once again, what is new in that verse? Nothing new is written. But then Allah ended that verse by saying, and perhaps you will be thankful. Not that you may be thankful, but perhaps that you may be thankful. I do not know why Allah have short expectation of his people. Maybe if Allah is a little bit more positive than being negative and tell the people in the Quran that you may be sure to be thankful of me and of my goodness towards you, it would be better that when Allah use the word perhaps. Once again, did Allah know that people are going to be thankful or not? Why can't he encourage them to be thankful for all his great bounty? Well, let's move on to Quran chapter 16 and verse 15. For there we learn about great scientific evidence that the Quran is the perfect word of Allah. Yes, indeed, you heard me right. Why? Because Allah teaches in that verse that the earth does not move. It sits still. Here is what Allah said in verse 15. And he, that is Allah, threw the stabilizers on the earth so that it does not move with you, and rivers and ways, perhaps you may be guided. First, let's talk about that earth. According to the great scholar Al-Tabri interpretation, he stated that after Allah created the earth, the angels figured out something is wrong in Allah's creation of the earth. They said, these are the angels, no one can stay on its back because it was moving, it was shaking, it was not stable. Therefore, Allah created the mountains as stabilizers, and he put these mountains on the back of the earth, and because he did so, now the earth does not move. Amazingly, we know that in Islam, according to the teaching of the Quran, everything speaks, even the earth speaks. For after Allah created the earth spoke and it said to Allah, will you put the sons of Adam to live in sin and do the evil things on my back? That's why Allah created the mountains and he put it on the earth. The mountains we see and the mountain we do not see. I do not know what Al-Tabari meant by mountain we do not see, because obviously we can see all the mountains of the earth. As a matter of fact, we named all of them. Similar to that, what the great Muslim scholar Qatada said, that when Allah created the earth, it was about to move. So they said, these are the angels, no one can stay on the back of it. They meant the earth. So Allah created the mountains, and the angels did not know from what material did Allah create the mountains. What about the rivers? That is when Allah said, and rivers and ways. Al-Tabari stated that Allah placed rivers in it. It here is obviously the earth. And made the rivers flow over the mountains. And he did to it what he did in the mountains. Now, if you can make sense out of that nonsensical statement, then I can say you are much smarter than me. What about the rivers? Using logic and common sense. How can the rivers be used like the mountains? How can the rivers stabilize the earth? But what is so amazing is the following word after he made the rivers. And ways. How did Allah create ways? Do we see some kind of streets on the earth made by Allah Almighty? Al-Tabari stated that Allah made for the people on the earth ways that they may walk in it. So they can be traveled from one place to another. And that is from the mercy of Allah and His grace on them. If that is the case, you know what? I believe the Romans are greater creators than Allah. Why? Because He actually made better roads, which ties together all the countries of the world a good 2,300 years ago. That is literally 900 years before Muhammad was born to write to us this great poetry of the Quran. I'm sorry. There was not ways made by Allah anywhere. Not on the earth, not in the seas. And once again, Allah ended that verse by stating, perhaps you may be guided. I do not know how can we find guidance in the words of Allah in the Quran. All what we have read so far is simply poetry without true message. Poetry filled with error. Poetry without any truth. Anybody can write much better poetry than that which we have read so far in Quran chapter 16. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.